He's the Chiefs' all-time leading tackler and four-time Pro Bowler.
Derek Johnson picks it. He's up the right sideline, 30-yard line, 25, and down into Washington territory. Derek Johnson.
But to us, he's our forever linebacker.
I want to be battle tested. I want to go through some adversity. I want to go through some things where you say, "Oh man, we gotta figure this out."
Here's number 56, Derek Johnson, with Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Derek Johnson time here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey as well, and it's brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member owned, open to all. Community America Credit Union, invested in you. DJ, my man, at 7:30, we always do a thing called one word. Give me one word to describe that victory last night for the Chiefs over the Giants, my man.
Oh, man, one word. Oh, man, that would be... or it's got to be two words. We're back.
Just like that, it's all settled, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I was excited about yesterday,
no doubt.
Man. We came in like true veteran team that knows who we are. It was good to see. It was two 0-2 teams playing, but one was clearly better than the other.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, the importance of getting a win in the NFL, it may not have been, like, the best-looking win of the day or maybe the best-looking win ever, but it's a win, man. What does that do for the guys to finally get that win after, you know, not having one since January here?
Yeah. It's winning is contagious, and football's a hard game. You know, when you can win, regardless of how it is, because we've won a lot of different ways the last couple of years, and sometimes it's not as sexy as everybody wants it. But I tell you what, man, my hat's off to Andy Reid, having the guys ready. Unfortunately, I've been 0-2 before, and it's a different kind of 0-2 vibe when you roll in on the road, and everybody's chomping at the bit trying to kick you while you're down. I mean, I guess you could say we're down just because you're 0-2. You never want to start off 0-2, but we're getting back on track, and the guys are Spags is dialing them up, and when you can play defense the way we play in defense, man, and be efficient on offense the way Pat is, we're gonna win a lot of games.
Yeah, when you watch Spags' defense the last 2 weeks, obviously blitz heavy, because you're not seeing a lot of pressure from the D-line. Is that why we're seeing more blitzing coming from Spags?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, ideally you want to just rush four and affect the quarterback. But at times it's not happening, and it's okay. There's different ways to affect the quarterback and get the quarterback on the ground. And, man, we're solid in every area. Scatterboo was a handful, don't get me wrong, but not enough to what we planned for him. And when you talk about being able to get interceptions and just tackles for loss and have negative plays with Nick Bolton, I mean he's just all over the field. George Karlaftis had a great game yesterday too as well. So
yeah, and that's the thing about Karlaftis. He needed a big game yesterday, and he stepped it up. Double-digit tackles, got to the quarterback, knocked the ball up in the air a couple of times. Like, I thought George Karlaftis had himself a really, really nice afternoon.
He did. He's got a motor on him that's unbelievable. His technique is awesome. He's a gritty, old-school type of player. Young player, but old-school feel to him. Man, it's cool to see how many guys on defense that just get out there and just keep going, man. Our defense has a confidence about themselves that they can take the show on the road and have a lot of success. So, you know, being a defensive player, I was proud.
DJ, I know that you're always a leader and a captain of your team here in Kansas City. Respectful guy. You don't have the career you don't have if you're not who you are. But when you watch this game and you see 74 constantly make crucial mistakes, that has to affect a team as a whole, right? When I know it's not a one-man sport, one guy doesn't win the game, one guy doesn't lose the game, but when one guy continuously makes mistakes the same way week in and week out, that has to cause some sort of effect in that locker room.
Well, you're talking about our guy.
Juwan Taylor, right? Yeah.
You know what? Oh, man. Yeah. Well, the one thing about playing football, it's a big time team sport. So it's hard to point fingers. It's hard to just put the pressure on one guy and say, hey, you have to help him out. You know, he's our starting tackle, so you got to help him out. And he has been having problems at times, but there's ways to help him out. And I'm not a big guy of pointing a finger or calling somebody out. I'm all about sitting them down and saying, hey, you're struggling a little bit. Let's figure this out, because we got a really good team and we're going to need you down the stretch. That's going to happen. But when you have a veteran team like the Chiefs, they handle things a lot different, especially Andy Reid. So I'm sure things will get handled throughout the season. It's still early, but he has had some issues.
Yeah, and I think at least the way that I read it last night, again, this is just me speculating, Travis Kelce's reaction, which was the third one in three games now, you know, with Andy Reid on the sidelines, I feel like he was reacting to Juwan Taylor. I mean, that can cause a player to react that way, can't it? I mean, those are two scoring drives where Juwan Taylor made those mistakes.
Yeah, it's a combination of a few things. And at times, especially Kelce. Kelce's a fiery guy. He's not a guy that's going to hold back. He's an emotional player, and you want him to. You want him to be emotional. So when things happen like that, people respond different ways. You can respond by saying, man, you know, I'm not that good. Or you can respond and say, you know what, I'm about to help my team out. I'm about to do better. And maybe part of that was about Juwan. But I'll tell you what, they figured it out going down the stretch. And when you see Kelce and Andy Reid bumping chests on the sideline, you're like, all right, we got to get this together.
DJ is who we're talking to here, Derek Johnson, former Kansas City Chiefs linebacker. So you get to win, you get to close that book if you're a fan or, you know, whatever you want to do. You move on to Baltimore. You're a middle linebacker in your career. What do you do to stop Lamar Jackson this week?
Oh, man. Just say a little prayer first. But I tell you what, Lamar is whenever you play against a team that has a dual threat quarterback, it's always hard on you, because you can cover everybody, and then if you don't keep him in the well or keep him in the pocket, he can kill you with his legs. I mean, probably one of the best running quarterbacks ever. Like, and I should say he probably is the best running back quarterback ever, which that says a lot, especially when you add in the run game. And that offense under Lamar Jackson is moving. He plays a lot of confidence. That's a team that's going to be at the thick of it at the end of the year, like always. But again, we get to have them in our house, and we need to get back on track. You know, we can't worry about, you know, what they have going on or good or bad. We got to get back on track. We started a lot slower than we wanted to. We can get to 2-2 in this first quarter of the season. That's what Andy Reid's talking about right now, trying to get to 2-2, and you know, we're home. So that's a great time.
You know, also too, Tyquan Thornton stepping up, man. Like there has to be somebody that steps up and grabs an opportunity. Give Brett Veach credit for going out and signing this guy that nobody ever heard of, except for like Bill Belichick when they picked him in the second round a couple of years ago up in New England. But this was an under the radar type of signing, and he's turned into the best offensive weapon we've had over the first couple of weeks.
That's a great point.
Thank you.
My hats off to Veach, man. He's just been doing what he does, right? Bringing acquisition in that can help the team, that's going to work hard and it's going to fit in with the character of this Kansas City Chiefs team to help us down the road. And until Rice gets back, until Worthy gets back, we have a big play guy, which Pat loves it. Pat's throwing the ball. He's not holding back. Thornton's making those catches, those hard catches, man, highlight catches. It's exciting to watch, actually.
DJ, what do you want to see change? Like, what's your one negative from this Sunday, and what's your one positive from this Sunday?
Oh, man, negative would probably have to be being able to get more of a passing yards for Pat. Just being able to light it up. We haven't lit it up yet, you know. Now we win efficiently, and we're really good on third down, which that was awesome. Defensively, you know, we stopped them on third down, but being able to just get more yards and more exciting plays. I don't want him to put that cape on until he has to, and we put ourselves in a situation where we got to put him, you know, he has to put a cape on. But defensively, man, that's the bright spot for me right now, being able to just affect the quarterback and just be efficient and just dial him up, man. Stags is dial him up when you talk about on third down and going to get the quarterback. So the defense is the bright spot right now, and that's no surprise, but it's pretty cool to see.
What do you do about the kicker? Can Spags dial him up?
Oh my goodness! No, you know special teams and kickers, Bucker. That's a thing of its own. You know, the special team is like they have to. It kind of sucks that they have to kind of figure that thing out, because they are kind of on their own a little bit, and they have some methods to get going, but that will help us going down the stretch so we can have a little bit more points. But yeah.
Well, DJ, we'll talk to you again next Monday, and hopefully this team's sitting at 500 with a big win over the Baltimore Ravens.
Yes, sir. Let's go.
Yes, sir. Derek Johnson there joins us, as he does every Monday, brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open to all. Community America Credit Union, invested in you. Yeah, like that. Defensive guy saying he wants to see Pat light it up.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, we all want to see it, right?
Well, if you have Thornton and Worthy, just run streaks down the field. We'll pick one of you.
But I think it was Collinsworth last night who even said, he goes, we got to stop judging this offense like it's 2018 all over again. And I think he's right about that. We all do that. We all think it's 2018 when it's 2025. 2018 is a very long time ago, guys. I mean, it is an eternity, a lifetime ago, and basically a roster ago. I mean, everybody has turned over on this roster except for that Patrick, Travis, the kicker, Chris Jones, I mean the long snapper, that's about it. Like, everybody has turned over, so the roster isn't even the same, the offense isn't the same as it's been since 2018. And so I think, as Collinsworth mentioned it last night, it's something that we all need to do a better job of, taking a step back and realizing this is not 2018, this is 2025. And also, too, guys, defenses are really good in the NFL right now. There were 9 non-offensive touchdowns scored yesterday in this league. Defenses are up to that level of offenses. And we didn't see how many people went over 30 yesterday in this league.
Oh, I don't know. I have to look at all the scores.
Right?
I don't know.
A lot of 10-10 games going into the fourth quarter yesterday. A lot of low-scoring games in yesterday's affair. Like, I know the Vikings put up some points yesterday, obviously.
There were 6.
And then Philadelphia
7,
got
8.
Late there at the end where they put up over 30. But I
8
mean,
teams scored at least 30 points this week.
8?
8. And there's still a game tonight where both teams will probably put up 30 points. I have to acknowledge this text. Do you know what Dwan Taylor's favorite tea to drink is? Penalty. All right, Mac.
One word.
First name is Blake. He goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise. No.
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor. You get one word.
On the count of 3, name your favorite dinosaur. 1, 2, 3.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
1, 2, 3.
Oatmeal raisin.
It's funny, like these places like Swig and whatnot that are opening, if they really wanted to have fun with it, they should have on their menu the Juwan Taylor penalty.
Yeah, 74 cents.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You want to get your day started off early?
Get yourself down to Swig and get a Juwan Taylor penalty.
Nothing gets you going earlier than a penalty, Juwan Taylor. Yeah. It'll really hold you together.
There you go.
No false starting in your day when you have penalty. Get him off the field, Chiefs.
Yeah.
He's got to go.
It's time. And I'm saying it now, and I'm like the staunchest defender of this guy. The man broke Travis Kelce yesterday. He broke me yesterday, for God's sakes.
Don't give Kelce that benefit of the doubt.
I thought the police were going to come to my house, because as soon as it happened, I said, get him off the effing field. And my windows were open. I was like, oh, calm down, Dusty. Calm down.
With that one word on the Chiefs' first win of the season.
Fun. Like, not fun? Not fun in a way that the game was fun, but fun in a way like fun. We finally got our first win of the year. We can move on now. It's taken care of. I don't have to stress about this anymore. I stressed all day yesterday, man. I mean, it was like, my daughter had a soccer game at noon yesterday. I'm pacing around the field. Like, for whatever reason, like, I needed to get there. And
did
so,
she kick for the Chiefs?
No. Okay. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Can't be much worse. But no, it was fun, man. Get that win. Get back in the win column. Everybody's going to be in a better mood this week around Kansas City. We got that win. Doesn't matter how you do it. Just get in the victory column, and they did that yesterday.
My one word would be bittersweet. Shout out to the Verb. Or the Verve.
Verve.
Yeah.
The Verve Pipe.
I think it's just the Verve, right?
Is it now?
I think it is just
the Verve. Because I think they were the Verve Pipe when they first started, when they were playing in Lawrence.
Great song. Never heard of it?
Yeah.
Bittersweet Symphony?
Bittersweet Symphony. That's life.
Yes. You ever seen the movie Cruel Intentions, Mac? Great movie. Ryan Phillippe, Reese Witherspoon. God. Super hot scene.
How old was that movie?
Good. I don't know, but it bangs. I say bittersweet because it is a win. That's nice. That's sweet. But it wasn't a fun win. 22-9. Great time to, you know, I guess show up defensively. But like again, still not a lot of pressure. Solid turnovers, two of them, two sacks. But it's bittersweet. They won. That's great. But there's still a lot to undress with this team.
Had Andy Reid and Travis going at it again on the sideline. Here's Andy Reid at halftime, and then we'll play him after the game answering questions about that altercation.
And we've seen a lot of frustration and emotion from your key players, star players on the sideline.
I just want to kiss you.
To the team?
That's okay. We need some juice, so that's good.
Awesome. Thanks, Andy.
Awesome. Thanks, Andy.
I was hoping. I would like to have the "I was going to kiss you" from
Joe Namath.
Yeah, Joe Namath there. That felt like what do you say to all the, "I just want to kiss you. I don't care about the Jets."
Okay, we'll play the other piece of audio now.
He's a passionate guy, and I love that part. So I've been through a lot of things with him. So that's all part of it. I love that he loves to play the game. That's what I love. And it's an emotional game. So I'll take it.
One word.
Yeah, I'm going to use his word, emotional. But it's got to be kind of checked in a little bit. You know, it can't be every game. It's like the guy who wants the manager to flip the spread after every loss. Eventually, it loses its luster. If Travis Kelce reacts once on the sideline, okay. Two, three times, now you're like, all right. Now it becomes Tyrann Mathieu. And Josh used to say they used to just let him kind of burn himself out. And then once he did, they'd kind of regroup and get back to it. That's kind of what this is, right? It's not really doing anything at this point in time. Again, I'm reserving a lot of judgment till we hear from Josh at 8:30. He was down there in the middle of all of this and saw it on the sidelines last night. So I want to get his perspective on it, but it's emotional. It's a little much now.
Yeah, I think my one word would be confused, because the halftime interview, Andy Reid's like, yeah, we need some juice, blah, blah, blah. I like that. See that. And then at the postgame press conference, it's, yeah, he's a passionate player. I'm sticking up for my guy because that's what I do. That's why all my players love me even after they're gone at my team. So I get that. But it's like, and then now, of course, the text line, I'm enemy number one today because I'm too heavy on Travis Kelce doing this for the third week in a row. But then again, it's like all of a sudden people are like, well, it was Andy that initiated. It wasn't Travis that initiated. It was Andy that was like.
Oh, we don't know, though, because we didn't get a good look at that. You know,
the text line knows everything. So like when they were saying like it was Andy that kind of initiated the whole thing, not Travis, I'm like,
I think Andy tried to calm him down is what Andy was doing.
I don't know. I'm just confused by the whole situation. It's none of my business, but it is, because it's noticeable on the sideline. It's the third time it's happened this season, not between them two, but it is. It's interesting. I will say that. That would be
Andy's
my one word.
Allowed to do that. Andy's the head coach of this football team. Yeah. He's the boss.
Yeah, I think so, like, from the angles that we saw of that, it looked like Travis was starting to get angry. And Andy went up to him and kind of...
Shut up. Stop bitching. Yeah, stop complaining. Yeah, like, if you want to change it, go out and change it.
Yeah. I think that's what that was. Andy didn't... When was the last time you saw Andy yell?
I know.
Like, anybody who's saying Andy initiated that is off their rocker. May have been in the garage a little bit too long yesterday for that one. But I'll be honest with you. Travis initiated. That was Andy going, dude.
Stop.
I got it.
Figure it out.
You go make a play.
Yes, you do something, man. Yeah. Come on. Screaming out here.
The wheels are falling off.
Feels like it right now with him, at least
a
little bit.
The wheels fall off, baby.
All right, well, let's talk about some screaming in a good connotation for the Bears in the locker room. They get their first home win, or their first win of the season, rather, both. Here's Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson.
First home victory. First win.
You know what my one word is for that? Passion. And I will say, by listening to that, I think everybody should now understand how hard it is to win a game in the NFL. They went out there and beat arguably the worst defense in the Dallas Browns yesterday, right? And they celebrated like they had just won the Super Bowl. And normally I would say, eh, but you know what? It's so hard to win a game in this league. They took care of business yesterday. They got that win, and they're going to celebrate that win. And every win should be celebrated like that in the NFL, man. This league is just razor thin with the margins. And to be able to get one yesterday, even against a bad team, celebrate the hell out of it. Yes. Life's too short.
I would say my one word would be unity. That was, if you missed the whole celebration, Ben Johnson gave Caleb Williams the game ball, and then Caleb Williams gave the game ball right back to Ben Johnson his first win as a head coach. You see a head coach and a quarterback bond like that. I can't emphasize enough how much that trickles down to the whole team. Caleb Williams has caught a lot of strays. He's been out of place a couple of times. They got to play Dallas, so I will give them that. But again, like, that was a game in which you can build unity, especially in that locker room. Everybody's in sync with the chant. They know that. They've rehearsed it. They've done it. And they were ready to go, and they executed it, and they won a game yesterday in which their quarterback looked pretty damn good.
Well, it doesn't.
And their head coach called a hell of a game.
Yeah, it doesn't matter that you beat the Giants or the Cowboys or the Browns or anything like that. You don't know what one win can do for a lot of teams and a lot of people, because think about this. You've gone to work. We've all been there where it's like you're getting your teeth kicked in every single day at work, and you're like, why am I going in every day, right? Why am I doing this? And then you see a little light, and you're able to break through, and you're able to get a big victory. And then all of a sudden the door opens even wider, and you're able to knock down more doors, and you're closing this sale, and you're closing that sale, and you're doing that, and you're doing this. A little win like that for teams can be a big momentum builder for the rest of the way. You hear about it all the time. When did the season turn? Week 3 against the Giants, or week 3 against Dallas. You know, when we saw ourselves with all that hard work we're putting in finally result in a victory, we knew we were doing the right things. And that's where the buy-in comes. The Bears, man, I'll give them credit. That sounded like a bought-in team yesterday. Mm-hmm.